It is great singing, great songs. Good to see you in church today, and welcome. So glad that you're here to worship the Lord with us today, and welcome to this Thanksgiving week of the year. And so I trust that God has been good and gracious to you, and many blessings along the way. And so it's always, like Ron said, great to have guests and visitors. If you are a first-time visitor, let's say welcome. If you're a returning visitor, we appreciate you being back with us, and always great to see church family. And also to be in the Lord's house. And so let me just share with you by way of a few prayer requests. It's always great to see those that have gone through a surgery or bounced back, and things maybe are looking a little bit better. Good to see Jenny back. And over here, raise your hand, girl. She's back over here after having thyroid surgery. Good to see her in church today. Bob, over here, raise your hand, buddy. And pray for this man. He's had a rough last week or two here, and great to see you in church today. And so pray for Bob. He had a seizure. Those ICUs are no fun, are they, brother? And they're no fun to be in. But God is good and brought him through that. We're praying for you. Continue to pray for you. Also, probably not in church today, but she was here in Sunday school. Roxanne Smith was back today. Just pray for Roxanne and Mark. Mark has been put into a home. She no longer can take care of him. She said, "Pastor, I probably won't be able to stay for church, but I'll be here in Sunday school." So pray for these dear folks, if you would. Also, in our congregation, our family, we need you to pray for Linda Lockwood. Linda's a lot of times does the communion table and working down here. She does so many things around here, and this is Sue's sister. But I think it was Tuesday evening, correct? Tuesday evening, she about 7:30 in the evening this week took a fall at her home. She went out on the patio or whatever, the concrete. And she took a fall. She always carries her cell phone with her, but that time she did not have it with her, and didn't have a life alert. But anyway, she laid there for 17 hours, and a long time. And then Sue finally found her there, got her in the hospital, and she fell and broke her hip. And, so it's going to be a little bit of a recovery time, so pray for her. So Sue, if you're listening by way of live stream, good morning, and we're praying for you. So pray for all these others in the congregation. Danny Bledsoe, Brother Bob Wilcox, continue to pray for. Henrietta Ellis in our church family needs a lot of prayer. She's having a tough time coming out of falling, breaking her femur bone, and then having to come out of the hospital and go to therapy. So a lot going on with Henrietta, and she's in her 90s now. It makes it a little bit tougher to rebound from all that. Shar Harmon, we're praying for you. November 24th, correct date, right? November 24th, Shar back here is going to be going in for a brain aneurysm surgery, and we'd ask you to continue to pray for her. Continue to pray for Brother Mark Sanders, and keep him on the prayer list. Good to see him in church today with us. So pray for these dear folks that as they go through these challenges. And then it's also great to have a new life come into the world. Grandpa's back there in the ushering crowd, and where's Grandma? Here she is. And you want to announce the news, or you want me to? Go ahead, stand up, Grandma, and announce the news.
We now have a second grandson, Henry Mark Veronius. He came into the world 5 pounds, 11 ounces, and 18 1/4 inches long.
Yeah. So pray for Amy and all her family, and that's exciting news. Just last Sunday, Amy was here, and she was ready to have this baby. So pray for them. That's exciting news, and so I did not have any influence on the name. Somebody asked me, so they chose Henry. Now, I've always been called Henry by last name, but it's Henry by first name there, and Henry Mark. So that's exciting news for all their family. So, gentlemen, if you'll come, it's time to receive the morning offering, and time to give back our tithes and offerings unto the Lord. While they're doing that, let me just share with you our missionary family of the week. This week is Tim and Betty Hawkins, missionary to Brazil. There are several in the Hawkins family that have been missionaries, veteran missionaries. This family is a veteran missionary. Tim's been there for many years now, doing a great work for the Lord, and I ask you to continue to pray for their ministry. Matter of fact, John Horton is also going back to Brazil, another missionary that we support, but we have a few missionaries down there in Brazil. So pray for the Hawkins family if you would. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we receive the tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house today. Thank you for guests and visitors that have come into the Lord's house to worship with us today. And Father, we thank you for our church family. God, we are grateful and thankful for answered prayer, for your goodness, for being with people that have gone through challenging times, recent surgeries, recent treatments or therapies or chemo, radiation, whatever the challenge might be. God, you're a good and gracious God for bringing them through some tough and challenging times. God, we do lift up in prayer today all these that have been mentioned, that you'll have your healing hand upon them as a divine physician. And God, that you can give strength where strength is needed, that you can heal completely and raise up. And God, we thank you for Henry Mark Broniak. God, that you're just it's always exciting to see new life come into the world. We pray that you'll have your hand upon him and Amy and all the family. Watch over them. God, it's a privilege to be able to give today, be able to be with our missionary families that serve around the world, the Hawkins family there in Brazil. And God, we love you. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. All right. Thank you, gentlemen, and appreciate that. And they're going to pass the offering plates. And as they do that, let me just share with you, give you just a few announcements. And as they pass the offering plates and that goes by, Children's Church, if you have any children in Children's Church, they're free to head out on one of the aisles and follow the workers and head on over to Children's Church. And we're going to be in our Bible in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, if you want to find your place there in the Bible. If you come to church and you forgot your Bible or you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible there in front of you. Feel welcome to take that and to use that. If you need a Bible, feel free to take that as a gift from our church family to you. Just a few things to remind the congregation on. First of all, thank you to all those that had a part in Operation Christmas Child and giving to that ministry. What a great ministry that is. And a special thank you to Sue and all the volunteers that have worked all this week, Monday and every day all through the week. Today, they'll be working today to collect boxes today. I did hear Sue say there's a church. We are a regional drop site for Operation Christmas Child. So there's a church bringing, I think, 300 shoeboxes today. So they'll be collecting today and then tomorrow. And tomorrow's the last day, I believe, correct? So tomorrow, if you haven't packed one or you haven't got yours in yet, you still have time to do that. Today or tomorrow, you can get that turned in. Tomorrow's the last day. After 11 o'clock tomorrow, they're done. They'll be wrapped up. They're getting all those transported over. They'll be hauled down to North Carolina. Then they're shipped all over the world so that boys and girls all over the world can have something at Christmas time. And they do a great job. Samaritan's Purse have been able to get that out. And thank you, Sue, to you and all the volunteers that have worked so hard to make that happen this week. And then also, too, if you would, the coat drive that has been going on this month. There's a box out there to collect coats if you want to have a part in that. I think I heard somebody say we've collected over 120. The number's probably higher than that now. Many coats that have come in for that ministry. And Pam, you're one of the heads that up, correct? And I appreciate you doing that. And so they have one more week to get those in. A week from today will be the last day on that, on the coat drive, and then they'll get those in and turned in so somebody will be able to use those during this the cold weather that's yet to come. It's not cold yet. Ron, you might think it's cold, but I know you know it's going to get worse than this. So, as a matter of fact, I saw it's going to be in the 50s for a couple days this week, and then it's going to slide down and get a little chilly, so that's all right. And then this Saturday morning at November 29th on Saturday at 9 a.m. Is time to start decorating for Christmas. And so if you are interested in doing that, and that Amy Sanders, wave your hand back there, Amy. Amy's sitting right back here. Okay, and Sherry Monroe, whoever else is helping the volunteers, they can always use many hands make for light work on that. If you like to decorate for Christmas, be here Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, and they'll get going on that. And then when you come in next Sunday, things will start looking like Christmas. And trust that you have a great Thanksgiving this week with your family and friends or whoever you're gathering together with, and it'll be a great opportunity to get together. So God is good, and We serve a great and gracious and mighty God. So pray for these things. Pray for these people that are on the prayer list and that. In your Bibles, in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. You know, when you think about this time of the year, Thanksgiving, you know, you really look at the Thanksgiving holiday. It really celebrates a time of harvest, a time of bringing the crops in, a time of Thanksgiving. You go all the way back to the days of the early pilgrims and what they went through, and our nation has always celebrated this time of the year. We really do. We live in a land of plenty, and God has been so good and so gracious. And today I want to preach a message on a thankful spirit. And you say, well, Pastor, I think most everybody has a thankful spirit. But I'll tell you what, I found some places in the Bible where people do not. And everything that you and I have and have been blessed. If you have a good job, God has given you that job. If you have a nice home, God has given you that home. If you have whatever it is that you have, you can go right down the list. God is a gracious and a good God. And we ought to be able to thank Him for what He's done and what He has provided along the way. You never know. In a moment's notice, everything could be gone. But we ought to definitely have a thankful spirit. Thankfulness is a prominent theme all throughout the Bible. When you begin to read your Bible, especially in the New Testament, you'll see that being thankful and appreciative. The Bible said over in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we ought to be thankful, especially at this time of the year, giving thanks for all circumstances. And yes, even as we go through that prayer sheet and whatever's going on in the congregation that week, there's much that we can come back and thank God. If God has just done something in your life in a miraculous way, we ought to thank Him. But we ought to thank Him for all the blessings and things that He gives to us along the way. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and for His mercy endureth forever. I want to give you two schools of thought this morning that we ought to be thankful for. Number one, that God's constant goodness to you and I. That God's consistent, constant goodness to you and I. Even though when we go through challenging times, even though when you might be going through a heartache or struggle, a pain or whatever along the way, God is still good. And keep that always in mind, God's constant goodness to us. And then secondly is God's steadfast love for you and I. And so when we think about it today, those two schools of thought, God's constant goodness and God's steadfast love. Psalm 30 talks about give praise to God for His deliverance. If God has delivered you and God has done something in your life, for sure you should hurry back to Him and thank Him for whatever He's done in and through your life. And so we ought to give God the thanks. If God has delivered you from a difficult circumstance, give Him the thanks. Give God the thanks in times of hardness. Psalms 28 talks about that. Psalm 28 is a cry for God's mercy and God's protection and God's justice. I love the verse over in 2 Corinthians. We're going to read in a moment here and that, but I wanted to give these to you ahead of time in Luke 17. But when you think about what Paul wrote over in 2 Corinthians, he said, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every tongue. Peter, I love the book of 1 and 2 Peter. When you're reading the book of 1 and 2 Peter, it talks about there that taught us to be thankful for all grief. It teaches us in Peter to be thankful for trials that we go through, the hardships that we go through, that our faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. And so those are good times that we can praise Him. The people of God, the believer, the saved person, the one that knows Christ as their Savior, should be thankful to God time and day after day, time and time again. We realize how much that we've been given. One of the characteristics of the last days, and you can look at it later and go to it and look it up, but one of the characteristics that we are living in the latter times, in the latter days, is there will be a lack of thankfulness, and it's found over in 2 Timothy. You don't have to turn there now, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, a lack of thankfulness, a lack of gratitude. Wicked people will be ungrateful. We should be thankful because God is worthy of our thanksgiving. And it's the right thing to do that we thank God that He is Spirit within you. What it does, our focus moves off of selfish desires and off the pain and the agony of our current circumstances that we're going through, whatever that might be in your life. So expressing thankfulness helps us remember that it is God ultimately that is in control. If something's going on in your life, God is still in control. Whether it be good, and things happen along the way, and sometimes we don't always understand that, but thankfulness is a healthy relationship with the Father and beneficial to you and I. Thankfulness reminds us, here's what it really does. It reminds us of the bigger picture in Christianity and being grateful and being thankful, and that we, as believers in Christ, belong to God the Father and God the Son. And that we have been blessed with many spiritual blessings. We have an abundant life in Christ. Now, in Luke chapter 17, you found your place there in the Bible. We want to read this parable, this thing that takes place here in Luke chapter 17. That Jesus really, when he opens up this chapter, is teaching and giving instructions on forgiveness. And how that you and I are to forgive. And then he gives us a parable about service. But what I want to focus on here for just a moment is it says that it came to pass in verse 11 here that as Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So that put him north of Jerusalem. And the Bible says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. Now, this is important. Pay attention to this. That 10 men that were lepers, and they stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. All 10 of these lepers were healed of their leprosy. And in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, notice this now, verse 15, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. A Gentile, was not Jewish. The other 9, it's believed in this passage, were Jewish men. The Bible says in verse 17, and then Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way. And then he gives us this statement, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, I don't know about you, but this is an absolutely amazing Bible story that he puts here in place, that as Jesus went and traveled the land up and down through Jerusalem and up the Jordan River and finds himself in Samaria and the Sea of Galilee in that area there, he runs into these 10 lepers. Now, lepers, in that day, it's interesting when you look at lepers and leprosy. Leprosy in Bible days, in biblical times, referred to a wide range of skin diseases that a person had. Those with leprosy, they were required to live outside the camp, required to live outside the community and away from the general population. And it was sometimes seen as a sign of divine punishment for sin. Remember King Uzziah in the Bible, he was afflicted because of his disobedience. And those with leprosy, they had to, if somebody was coming near or whatever, they'd cry out, unclean, unclean. And through that, and so it was a dangerous thing to be around lepers. And here's Jesus running around and running into these 10 lepers. And I find it interesting that he gives them very simple instructions. And that instructions came in verse 14 that he said there, go show yourself to the priest. And it did that, and the Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. All 10 were cleansed. All 10 were healed. All 10 were miraculously healed. It often makes you wonder, though, that when they got done with that, there was only 1 out of 10, only one person that turned back and was grateful for what God had done, what Christ had done in their life, had changed their life. I don't know. You know, I have seen people go through unbelievable things in life. And whatever you go through in life, some have some will walk right up to death's door and knock on death's door and get so close to it, and then God will bring them back and work their way back. There's so much to be thankful for. If God has done something in your life, don't be one of the 9 that you just turn and go your way. Be that one person that stands out and goes back. And the Bible says here, can you imagine the excitement in his heart? Can you imagine the excitement of having, here he had leprosy and a disease, and it looked pretty fruitless. It looked like that he had nothing to gain out of this, and life was miserable and horrible. I mean, you think about what life would be if you had leprosy. Be a horrible way to live, to try to exist day in and day out. So this man has something to shout about. And the Bible says here, you know, when you think about it here, he was a Samaritan. And he was the one, when he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And I find it interesting that Jesus in the teaching here said, were there not 10 of you? Where are the others? Why did they not come back? Why are they not grateful? Why are they not thankful? So when you look at it here, Jesus heals all 10 lepers, but only the one returns to give thanks. And you notice here what's interesting in the Bible? It says he was a Samaritan. It means he was a foreigner. It means he was not a Jewish person. And it's really here, this whole principle here that's being taught is all about gratitude. It's all about faith. Notice what he said to this man. He said, there are not found in verse 18 that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And then he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So sometimes you think about it, and then Jesus, you know, if you think about the principles that Jesus taught, and you go back here, go back to the beginning of that chapter in Luke chapter 17 and verse 6, and where he was talking about here, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as the grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is when tragedy hits and trials hit and difficulties hit is to keep your faith strong. And this man, this Samaritan man here, had a strong faith in the Lord. Evidently, I don't know, you kind of wonder, he had a deep spiritual, I mean, sometimes things happen in our lives. A trial happens. A major health crisis happens. Something happens. And if you'll do it and handle it in the right way, it will deepen your faith. It will encourage your heart. It will expand you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It will make your faith stronger in God. And here, this person was tremendously grateful to God for what he had done. The Bible says with a loud voice. So we find here, this is a Bible story that contrasts one grateful leper with 9 who did not return. And it teaches that the expressing gratitude to God is really a crucial response to God's blessings. So there's a many times our days, not only now at Thanksgiving this time of the year, but you and I many days, many weeks, many months that you have been blessed beyond measure. Recognize that and thank God for what he has blessed you with. All 10 lepers here demonstrated faith by obeying Jesus' command to go. So they all had some kind of faith. They all believed a little bit to went and because the Bible says they were all cleansed. They did exactly what he had told them to do. But only one out of 10 came back grateful to God for what he had done. So this Samaritan had a deeper, a more complete healing beyond the physical. I think this was a spiritual experience for this man to be able to go through this. The Samaritan that returned, his kind was shunned by the Jews. Matter of fact, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. You imagine them being in a leper colony, and here they are, you know, Samaritans and Jews and others from foreigners from all walks of life. So this would teach that God's healing is available to all who come to him by faith, regardless of their social or their ethnic background. The Samaritan returns, falls on his feet, and praises God and is very humbling. You know, it's interesting that many times some of the things that we go through in life humbles us to our core, will bring us to our knees, and will bring us to the recognition that we look to God and there's only one way to look, and that's up. And here, this leper, this Samaritan man, was so grateful what God had done for his life. Now, let me give you on another one example, one from the New Testament there, but one from the Old Testament. Go back to 2 Kings and chapter 5. I want to share with you another example in the Bible, and that has to do with the ministry of Naaman. Naaman in the Bible, the healing of Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. And matter of fact, you might want to identify the two and bring the two together. Tie Luke chapter 17 and these verses on the 10 lepers back to the leprosy found here in 2 Kings chapter 5 with Naaman. Look up, pick the reading, if you will, and notice this important man, Naaman. Said, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man," 2 Kings 5:1, "with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife." Here's a little Jewish maid that comes and waits on Naaman's wife. "And she said unto her mistress," notice this now, this little Jewish woman, she says, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet," talking about Elisha now, "that is in Samaria, for he would recover him from his leprosy." And then one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said to Naaman, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. Now, this was a prosperous man. This was a well-respected man. This was a leader. This was a military man in the great army of Syria. And Elisha, in verse 10, sent a messenger unto him, saying, now notice this now, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Interesting, the number of perfection, 7. "And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, went away, and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me," Elisha, "stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper." Boy, that's not how Elisha looked at it. Now notice what Naaman says. Now Naaman's upset. Naaman is angry. He says, "Are not Abana and Parfar, or Parpar here, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. The Bible says in a rage. So here, you know, it's interesting. God was going to humble this man, send him to the muddy waters of the Jordan, tell him to dip 7 times, follow what I'm telling you, and you will be cleansed, you'll be healed of your leprosy. But he, being a Syrian, and north of Israel, north in Damascus and north in that area there, realized they had better water up there, cleaner water. Why would I go dip seven times in muddy Jordan? So his servants, in verse 13, came near, spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet, if Elisha the prophet here, had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Question mark. How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Then he went down. Naaman evidently had a change of mind, change of heart. He went down. He dipped himself seven times in Jordan. Boy, you know what? When the pain gets hard enough, when the leprosy gets hard enough, when the challenge gets hard enough, now he's going to listen to what the prophet had to say. According to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh, the Bible says his flesh, Naaman's flesh, came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Verse 14, healed of his leprosy. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and he stood before him and he said, now here's his response, Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. You know what verse 15 is? Verse 15 is like that one leper out of the ten that returned back and with a loud voice began to praise God for his goodness. Only God could do such a thing. And he was grateful. He was thankful. If you've been healed, if God has done something in your life, if God has, sometimes, you know, we need to look back and say, God, thank you. Without you, that could have never happened. Without you, that blessing would have never been there. Without you, everything comes back to gratitude. Now Naaman has a complete change of heart and so much so that he says, Behold, now, he says, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Only God can do that. God changed Naaman's life completely. God changed all 10 lepers, but only one came back being thankful, being grateful. But he said, As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it. But he refused, and Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth unto the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, I bow myself to the house of Rimmon. And when I bow down myself from the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed him a little way. Boy, it's interesting. You really see quite a change in Naaman's life here, saying, I'm not going down to that muddy Jordan. I'm not going to dip in that water. And that's exactly, God has a way of humbling us and bringing us to that point. He was going to humble Naaman. Naaman, if you'll just do what I tell you to do, listen to the man of God, listen to Elisha, go down there and dip in that muddy Jordan, and you shall be cleansed. And finally, when he got over his anger and he got over his rage and he got over all that, the Bible says that he went and did exactly that. So what's interesting about Naaman here, he was a great and honorable man. He was really a commander in the Syrian army. He was highly esteemed by the king of Syria. And he had won many, many victories for Syria. But he was a leper. Despite his high status, he was a leper, a disease that brought him physical and social suffering, and he was unclean. So Naaman's journey to the healing, you know, it began really as a humble suggestion. A young Israelite slave girl here in the household told his wife about this prophet Elisha in Samaria could heal him. And so the initial reluctance was when Naaman arrived here with this letter of introduction, he was actually arrogant, he was offended, and Elisha's simple command to wash in the River Jordan 7 times. He then finds humility. You know, sometimes God has a way of, interesting way of humbling us and bringing us before the Lord and realizing that it is ultimately God that heals, it is God that saves. If there's any miracles done, it's God that does that. You and I ought to look back and be thankful and appreciative for so many things that God has done and provided along the way. So the humility and the healing come. He almost refused, but his servants, thank God for those servants, his servants persuaded him to do exactly like Elisha said. So after washing, his skin was cleansed, he was made whole. Now here's what I think is, here's what in this Bible story I think signifies with Naaman. that number one is that God's power is for all, that Naaman's healing demonstrates that God's power and grace is extended to all nations, not just in Israel. He did so in Israel, but to all people of all walks of life. So God's power is for all that will come unto him. The 10 lepers, you don't hear any more about the other 9, except the only one that was grateful that he came back and thanked God. And the Bible says there that because of his faith, in that he had a unique experience. It was his faith that made him to do that. So humility is the key. And that Naaman's story highlights the human struggle with pride and the need for humility to receive God's blessings. God wants to bless. God wants to have his will and his way in our life. And we need to humble ourselves before him and to recognize when he does great and mighty things along the way that we look back with a thankful spirit and saying, God, if it had not been you, then this perhaps would not have happened. So really it teaches us about humility. It also teaches us about obedience over pride. This story here about Naaman teaches that true healing comes through obedience to God's instructions, even when they seem simple or they're not what you expect. Now, I jotted down, I began to think, and I kind of tried to back up and reflect a little bit this week going into Thanksgiving, some things that I think, you know, we should be thankful for. You kind of put it in, I kind of put them in certain envelopes or whatever, and I think about the basic needs of life or our health along the way. Here we read two Bible examples today, one in Luke 17 on a leper that was healed, one in Naaman in 2 Kings 5. But when you think about the basic needs of life, what you and I should be thankful for and grateful for today, if you have a home or shelter over your head, you ought to be thankful. If you have clean water and sanitation, you ought to be thankful. If you have food and nourishment, you ought to be thankful. If you have your health and your body's ability to be able to function, you ought to be thankful. If you get a good night's sleep, you ought to be thankful. If you have the ability to breathe fresh air, you ought to be thankful. When I think about our relationships, when I think about community, I think about family and friends who support you and love you, you ought to be thankful. Unconditional love, if you have unconditional love in your life, your family, you ought to be thankful. If you have a partnership or a companionship in life, you ought to be thankful. If you have strangers that show you kindness, and by the way, there are some that do that, you ought to be thankful. The chance to help others and receive help, you ought to be thankful. Relationships and community are so important. When you think about nature, I don't know about you, but I love nature and I love the environment, I love the outdoors. Matter of fact, if I had my choice, I always razz my wife when I always tell her, I said, you know, now I don't know, I have a few movies that are some of my favorite movies. One of them is Jeremiah Johnson. How many of you even know who Jeremiah Johnson is? All right, you know, you watch that movie? I told my wife, I said, sometimes I think that'd be the best blessing in life is to be a Jeremiah Johnson, get on the horse and go into the mountains, live like a mountain man. Just you and God and the wild. I know that'll probably never happen. 2 days into it, I'd probably want to turn back. But the point is nature and the environment. The beauty of nature, including the trees, the flowers, the oceans, the mountains. We ought to be thankful. You ever just sit at the Atlantic or in the Gulf of America or the Pacific and listen to the waves roll in and just be thankful? Gratitude. You think about sunrises. Beautiful one this morning. Some of you don't even know what a sunrise is. Or a beautiful sunset. Or the night sky. When I'm at the camp, oftentimes at Bethel, I'll go by myself. I'll just go out in the field. And it's really, really dark. Lay down flat on my back in the meadow or in the grass. Just look up at a dark sky that's just lit up with God's stars in his revelation. Being grateful, being thankful. in nature and the environment, the weather, the sunshine, the rain, the cool breeze, and the animals that he gives us, we ought to be grateful. When you think about personal growth and well-being, your resilience or bravery, you ought to be thankful. Your ability to laugh at yourself, you ought to be thankful. Learning from our mistakes. Boy, I tell you what, we could write a book on that. We ought to be grateful. The freedom to make your own choices. How important is that? The freedom to make your own choices in life. You ought to be thankful. Moments of joy, even if they're in small doses, you ought to be thankful. You think about the simple daily pleasures of life. Think about this. A warm shower, a cozy bed, a hot drink like coffee or tea or whatever, you ought to be thankful. Music that makes you feel good, you ought to be thankful. A good book or even a good movie, you ought to be thankful. So many things along the way when we think about that. Did you ever think about this? Finding something that you thought was lost, but you found, you ought to be thankful. Think about the world we live in today. Technology. Man, it's moving at warp speed. Technology, modern convenience. The technology, in a lot of ways, makes life easier. You ought to be thankful. The internet, the ability to connect with people. You ought to be thankful. Electricity, comfortable shoes, clothing, transportation. Aren't you glad you got a vehicle to ride home in today and not the mule parked out here? Yeah. You ought to be thankful. Be sure to return to God and thank him for many blessings. The list is long. What can we thank him for? Thank him for our salvation. But the list is long. The list is wide. And we have much, much, much that we can thank our God for and be grateful for today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. And God, we thank you for your many blessings. And God, the list is so long today that as we begin to think of all the things that we are grateful for and thankful for, might be good today, God, just to get on bended knee and to begin to thank you for what you've done in and through our lives. May we recognize, may we be like that one leper that turned back and with a loud voice praise your holy name and thank you for who you are, what you're all about.